What's good? This Wild Thing, and you are tuned into The Bullshit Report, brought to you by Liquor Lollipops, makers of non-alcoholic, liquor-flavored hard candy. Stop eating kids' candy. Check out Liquor Lollipops. Google them. You'll be happy you did. Now let's get into it. The Houston Texans are a cult. Not a team, but a cult. Why do I say that? Because winning is not the most important thing to the Houston Texans. What the Houston Texans say is the most important thing is creating a culture. A culture within the team that it functions and flows a certain way. Right? Now, what's the root word of culture? Cult. C-U-L-T. Yeah, a cult. So, what the Houston Texans are doing, which is unlike any other team in the NFL, is they are intentionally losing just so that they can get the same type of robots in their system that they desire. Like, to have the right robots in their system, not people, the right robots in their system, far outweighs winning, and they will hold off on winning until they get that. It's an ideology that they have, and the ideology, winning comes second place. So when you look at the team over the past few years, how they've just peeled off all of their great players, from J.J. Watts to DeAndre Hopkins, of course Deshaun Watson, Mark Ingram, and it's countless other players. They just, like, over the past 2 to 3 years, they peeled off just left and right. You know, their regime is, they're ruling it with an iron fist based around what they perceive to be the correct way of living. Not football, but of living. Now, is their moral compass correct? I'm not here to argue that point. I'm not to say that being just good Christian people is a bad thing. It's not. I'm a Christian, right? But what I am saying is, when you hold an ideology over any type of organization, not just professional sports, but business world, school, you know, and basically you're saying, if you're not this religion, then you can't be on, you know, in this organization, or if you're not a religious person, you can't be in this organization. Or if your sexuality is a certain way, then you can't be in this organization. You know, in the real world, in the regular world, you know, people could file suits, you know, if you discriminated against them for whatever reason, race or sex or sexuality or ethnic background, any of those things. But in football, what the Texans are able to do is to put their agenda under the disguise of running a football team, right? Like, you know, as long as they don't just outwardly come and say, hey, we don't want anybody that's a troublemaker, any bad people that you can't play, you know, if you do this, or do that, you can't play for our team. As long as they don't come outwardly and say it, they can keep doing it because it is a private corporation. But it's more cultish, you know. If you're not in, then you're definitely out, right? Like, it's so many players on the Houston Texans right now, everyone's walking on eggshells with one-year deals. Everyone, one-year, two-year deals. There's no commitment to almost any of the players there, which is terrible when you think about how physical the game of football is. You know, like, one play, you get hurt the wrong way, your whole career can be over. And here it is, over 80% of the players on the team have no commitment. And they live in fear because they don't want to rub the wrong person the wrong way, or, you know, a fear of getting released. And in the NFL, unlike in other professional sports leagues, what happens is, if you get cut, that's it. It ain't no guaranteed money. It's like, that was the last check. You know, that last check you got, That's the last check you're going to get. So it's very difficult in that situation to be an effective football player, because on one end, you don't want to get injured because you're only on a one-year contract, a prove-it deal. And if you get injured, then there's no guarantee that you're going to ever be back in the league again. So you want to not get injured. And the best way to not get injured is to be precautious, to make business decisions. And when you start making business decisions on a football field, that's when the other team start kicking your ass, right? You don't want to tackle? Okay, we're going to run you over. You know, you don't want to pass block because you don't want to break an arm or a knee. Okay, well, we're gonna destroy your quarterback type thing. And in football, unlike almost every other major sport like basketball or baseball, like the whole team has to buy in, right? If the whole team does not buy in, then you're not going anywhere in football. It's impossible. If everyone on the offensive line is not on the same page, if everybody on the defensive line is not on the same page, if everyone on the offense is not on the same page, if everyone on the special teams are not on the same page, you're not going to do anything, right? So with that being said, you know, as the year plays on, it's going to be very interesting to see how much worser the Texans become, right? Like, the Texans have put up some stinkers, man. Like, they haven't scored a touchdown in like 12 quarters. It's unheard of. And one of the reasons I can't help but to believe, but there are a number of players, starters, who are out there who have already made business decisions. They already know, I'm only here for a year. I'm just playing to play well enough so I can make some stats, so I can get on another team and get a contract, because I'm not going to be here. So they done checked out. Some people are already fishing. They in the offseason already, and it's still the middle of the year. And it's because of that, right? Of course, as a football player, and especially as a Texans football player, and the Texans have like one of the lowest wells of talent. Like, very, very little talent is on the Texans. You know, so being a talent-less team, and then players not all bought in, you know, it can get real ugly. You know, the Texans may go the rest of the year and average a touchdown, like some like ridiculously low number. First of all, you got a rookie quarterback, a third round rookie quarterback, right? Now let's think about this. This year, you have all kind of first round quarterbacks. From Trevor Lawrence to Trey Lane to Mac Jones to Justin Fields. You know what I'm saying? Like, all of these first-round quarterbacks. And they all getting beat up on. So if it's hard for a first-round quarterback to be successful, then what do you think a third-round quarterback is going to do? Right? Like, the Texans are set up to fail. It's a cult. Like, they want you to buy into the culture. You know, and that's the most important thing, finding players that fit what they believe is the right culture. Then once they get the right culture, then they can go ahead and win. But that ain't what we watch the games for, right? That's not why you pay good money to go to the football game. You know, you're not going there to see a team get beat up on and slam dunk and, you know, disgraced in front of the home team. Right? You can see that shit on TV. When the Texans played the Los Angeles Rams most recently, say, man, that was like a middle school playing the NFL team. Like, them boys beat up on the Texans so bad, so thoroughly. Like, by the end of the third quarter, it was like 31-0. They were already resting players. Like, they were starting second, third stringers. You know what I'm saying? Like, no team really respects the Texans at all, and they know exactly what's going on. It's like an inside joke, you know. But again, when you got a lot of players who are making very little money and who have very little commitment from the team, they walking on eggshells. You know, they're afraid to talk and say the wrong word. They afraid to look a certain kind of way. They afraid to speak on their displeasure. You know, they don't want to develop a bad reputation, because if they develop a, a bad reputation with the Texans, then it might make it hard for another team to sign him. So, you know, I really feel for the players on the Texans. No matter how talented they are or talentless that they are, and it's got to be a tough shoe to walk in at this time, because, you know, just like all people, when you need a job, man, you need a job. You need to work. You need to be prosperous. You need to make money. You need to be able to take care of yourself and your family. And if your profession is football, then you need to be able to find a job playing football. And there's only 32 teams in the whole U.S., you know, that have openings that can hire you for the job of being professional football player. Only 32. Now, let's think about how many McDonald's there are in the U.S. or how many CVS's there are in the U.S. There are thousands of those. You know, so the ability to find other gainful employment in regular life is easy. You can go from one company to another company to another. It's tens of thousands of companies out there. But in professional football, it's only 32. You know, so the players on the Texans, they have to play to get paid, right? Like, although the Texans might not be trying to compete and they own some cult type things, you still need a job. And if the only team that'll hire you is the Texans, you got to take the job. But then once you get the job, you not getting full commitment from the company. So because you're not getting full commitment from the company, now you got to be careful. Because again, if you go out there on a prove it deal and you're trying to prove it, you playing super hard and you end up getting hurt, dog, that's it for you. They might waive you right there in the season and your whole career is over. Don't worry about next year. You done. Because they are already telling you what that 1 year contract says is there is no commitment to you, right? This is just a 1 year thing, a couple games thing. And that's the main reason why the players have checked out. You know, as a fan, we most of the time look at the uniform and think about them as like a football team, like Madden. You know, like you're just going to go out there and play with this team and there's a chance you can win. But what people fail to realize is that underneath those helmets, these guys are people. They're living, breathing, feeling beings. You know, they have feelings. You know, they have things that are important to them, you know, and they have brains. And if they're not all in sync with one another, then it's not going to work, right? And if they're not all in sync, then you're going to see some terrible football, like some world-class terrible football. You know, as this year goes along, I want to see, like, the last few games of the year, like, it might get so bad. Like, no, I take that back. By the end of the year, you know, most other teams might be in the playoffs. They might lighten up on them, and they might start the second stringers. They like, we ain't going to even start our first team against y'all boys. We're going to just start our second string. And that might make the games a little more competitive when you start your second string against the Texans' first string. But I think we might be in store for some historically bad football. If the Texans hadn't beaten Jacksonville in the first game of the season, they might go down as the worst football team of all time. But they did win that one game. So I will say this, that regardless how this team turns out this year, they will be one of the all-time worst teams, all-time worst collection of talent ever put together. Ever. Ever. Right? And there's a chance that they can become competitive in the future. And getting the right type of player that they want in their system, in their culture. Right? And it's nothing wrong about having a culture, right? But again, as a fan, it's just shocking. Like, no other football team in recent memory has ever constructed a team like this. I'm not talking about the talent. I'm talking about the way that they're going about putting talent together based around a certain moral compass and how they feel about people. Like, you know, it hasn't been done before ever, and it's a shame to watch. You know, it's going to be very difficult for the Texans to get really good really fast, because what they're doing this year, you know, players talk, and unless you just overpay somebody, like give them hundreds of millions of dollars, then If they got a better alternative, the next best solution, they're going to go with that instead of the Texans. So this rebuild that the Texans are about to go under is going to be a long rebuild. And it's going to have to start with young players, a lot of young players. It's going to take multiple drafts to accumulate enough players with enough talent to be able to compete, because brand name free agents are not coming to the Texans. They're not about to deal with that bullshit, right? Like, you got to think. In college, college players call their coach. But in the pros, they call them coach, but it's a man-to-man thing. It ain't like I'm a kid. You can't just tell me what to do and how to be and how to live my life. I'm grown. That's how people in the NFL, how men in the NFL interact. So when you come in with this compass of you saying, well, this is how it has to be and it has nothing to do with football, dog, you done rubbed everybody wrong. Everybody. And if DeAndre Hopkins and J.J. Watt and all these players and Deshaun Watson and, you know, all these players are just voicing their opinions to other pro players, that's going to turn people off. They ain't going to even deal with the Texans. The Texans can be a dumpster fire for the next 5 years. And that's a very real possibility. The Texans could become this generation's Detroit Lions. Right? Now, people think that Houston Texans former coach Bill O'Brien set the team back, you know, 4 or 5 years, which he may have done. But what they're doing now, man, this possibly can set the team back 10 years because it starts at the top. Your general manager, Caserio, your other, whatever the other dude named Easterby, you know, they all locked in on this vision that they have. And again, I'm not knocking having a moral compass. But what I am saying is that it's never been placed into football to where that's above winning. No team has ever done that. Ever. And I'm not talking about saying that you should be cheating and be bad guys and all this. No. But I'm saying to put that above everything else, dude, this could wipe out the city of Houston, Texans, for, like I said, at least the next 10 years. Easily. Easily. Very easily. You know, when you look at the when you look at the attendance, it's nothing. It's nobody. Nobody's going to the football game. And when the Texans first came into the league, you couldn't buy a ticket. You know what I'm saying? Like, the season tickets were sold out for years. And now people don't even go to the game. You know, in football as a player, trust is everything. Trust. Because, like I said earlier, in one play, if it goes the wrong way, your whole career can be over. So you got to be able to trust the organization. You got to be able to trust your teammate. You got to be able to trust the coaches. You got to be able to trust the strength and conditioning coach. You got to be able to trust the medics. You know, it's all built off of trust in that, and knowing that everyone is pushing the same way. But when everyone is not pushing the same way, then that messes up the dynamic, right? And if it starts at the top, then in order, once this dumpster fire keeps burning and erupts, the only way you're going to be able to put it out is by throwing away the whole damn everything. Like, you got to fire the general manager, the coach, Easterby, everybody in the front office. You're going to have to start all over again. And that's going to be 5 years from now. And then with the new regime that comes in, that regime is going to be behind the eight ball because of what Bill O'Brien did and this regime. So they're going to be doubly fucked. They're going to have to clean up a lot of shit. You know, like what they say, when shit hit the fan, who going to clean it up? Well, whoever is in charge with the next regime is going to be the people that's going to be cleaning up the shit from the previous coach and from this coach and the front office. So I think it's complete bullshit how they're running their business. Not what they're doing, but how they're going about doing it, right? Like, again, I believe in having a moral code, a moral compass, right? But to be able just to look at a player, or if a player has a disagreement with something that's said, you know, in a conversation, for them to have to live in fear of getting traded or getting, you know, slandered or drugged through the mud, nobody wants to go through that. Nobody wants to go through that. Really. Especially if you big time, you know, if you big time quarterback, big time wide receiver, big time defensive back, big time defensive end, or linebacker, bro, you are not about to come and deal with this shit, period. You're going to be like, I can go anywhere and get paid, anywhere, and win, and have a chance of winning. Because when you come to the Texans, the thing is that even if you come to the Texans, you're coming to a team with a bunch of players who are individuals. They're not a team. They're a collection of individuals. So if you were successful at another team and you come to the Texans and you think you're going to be successful with this team, there's a good chance you won't be able to replicate your success simply because the team you came from was a team. But over here, you got a whole bunch of individuals who live in fear of their work life being taken away from them. Just two totally different worlds. So because of that, my projection is the Texans will continue to be a dumpfire, a trash can fire, and it's going to only get hotter. Like the dumpster fire is only going to get more and more hotter, and the team is going to take at least 3 to 5 years to get to respectability, period. And it's not going to happen with this regime. It's going to happen with the next regime, and that's what's going to be bad for, like, Texas. Texas is a football state, right? And for the city of Houston, who loves football just like the Dallas loves the Dallas Cowboys, dog, this is heart-wrenching for those fans. So what do you think? Let me know. Holla back. Wow, that was another great episode of The Bullshit Report. Make sure you subscribe and check in often because we're always putting up new great content. And make sure you check out Liquor Lollipops, makers of great tasting, non-alcoholic, liquor-flavored hard candy. 21 and up to suck. Stop eating kids' candy. Born in Atlanta, raised worldwide. Holla.